Today on the Voices of Legacy with, well, yours truly, Pastor Carl, we're honored to welcome, well, local Toledo legend, kind of, sort of. I'm pretty sure. He probably might not say that.
Thank you so kindly, Pastor Carl.
Coach James E. Johnson, an educator, mentor, businessman, motivational speaker, and a newly anointed and appointed head varsity basketball coach at Toledo Scott High School, the Venerable. For more than two decades, Coach Johnson has poured into the lives of young people throughout the community, using the game of basketball as a tool to teach discipline, leadership, accountability, perseverance, and faith. His story is one of, well, incredible resilience, overcoming grief, personal setbacks, and even the amputation of one of his legs. While continuing to inspire others, he was going through faith, determination, and purpose is what we're going to be talking about today. He's also the author of an upcoming book. We're going to talk about that. What's the title of that book, sir?
Fourth Quarter Faith, Finishing Strong with God.
Amen. An ambassador also for the 2026 African American Men's Wellness Day. And most importantly, a father of how many girls?
Three beautiful young daughters.
All right. Coach Johnson, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Absolutely, Pastor Carl. Well, first of all, thank you so kindly for inviting me here to share my story with your listeners. And a little bit about myself. I was born and raised here in the Toledo area. I went to high school at St. Francis de Sales and then moved away from the area to pursue college and ended up getting married and lived in the South for a number of years in Atlanta and the surrounding areas. But I'm back here in the area, came to take care of my parents as they were getting elderly.
Yes.
And
I think that's a lot of our stories.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. I think so as well. And that whole situation is kind of part of my story about Fourth Quarter Faith. Mm-hmm. Just last year, I ran into some times where my faith was definitely put to the test, and I increased my faith going through some difficult times. At the end of 2024, my best friend passed away, and we had been best friends my entire life. Mm-hmm. His name was Dr. Ronald Greg Battle, and we buried him January 3rd of 2025. And it was a difficult situation for me, not only losing my best friend, but also managing this particular grief situation during the basketball season and while coaching my team. And it was a situation where I wanted to pour into my kids and also be there for them. But I was going through some things and trying to get over this death and this grief. And I found that working hard and getting my team to perform to their capabilities and at a high level really helped me to get through my grieving situation. And then at the same time, just their support for me also helped me in my situation as well. So that happened January 3rd of 2025. It was the first quarter of the year, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we got through that. I prayed through that. God brought me through that. In the second quarter, my father, who had been diagnosed with prostate cancer and had been going through chemo treatments and different things of that nature, his cancer began to spread.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and it was...
And this was after your best friend.
Yes, sir. Yes, gotcha. Sir. This was after the passing of Greg. And so we as a family began to see my father, who, let me just start by saying, my father was just a remarkable man, and he was my mentor. He was a leader of our family, someone I always looked up to, always has been there for my family, for me and my three other siblings. And so
What did your father do?
My father was a heavy equipment operator at Toledo Edison. And had retired after 38 years of tremendous service there. He was also very active at our church. Deacon Jim Johnson Jr., he created an athletic department at our church way back in the 70s, even before I was born, that was able to attract so many people to come to the church and then join the church. Mm-hmm. And part of that athletic department, there was basketball teams and softball teams and men and co-ed and for children. And just to see his work, as I was a kid growing up, it was just spectacular just to see all these people that were joining church really to play the sports, but then they ended up staying. And that was part of the things to join the team. You had to come to church. You had to be in Sunday school. So many, and it was his ministry.
Wow.
And it was spectacular. And just playing sports and that, I always did that and loved that, but it was also tremendous to see so many people joining church.
So the apple doesn't fall far from the proverbial tree.
You know what? I would hope not.
Your dad was an inspiration for
Absolutely. Yeah. A big man in stature, Pastor Carl, 6'3", 225. Uh-huh. He was always big to me. Mm-hmm. And so in the second quarter of last year, to see him, his body start to deteriorate, to see him noticeably losing weight. My dad ended up having to use a walker to get around. And it was a tough situation for our entire family. But we kept praying, we kept believing that his prostate cancer was going to be healed and he was going to get completely better. And that's just how our family goes about things. We just continue to pray. We continue to ask God to provide a way for us.
So how did you handle the back, that sounds like back-to-back grief-like situations with male figures that were so prominent in your life?
I tell you what, Pastor Carl, it was extremely difficult and extremely hard. And the only way I was able to get through that is through prayer. I prayed a lot during those times. The losing of my best friend, we were 52 years old. We had been friends our entire life. And a little backstory on that, his dad was my dad's best friend in high school, and they also played college basketball together and such. And so there are pictures of he and I growing up together as toddlers playing Nerf basketball, if you will, in the house. So we've been friends for a long time. And then to see him pass away and then to see my dad deteriorate, it was a trying thing, but it was my prayer life just kind of increased. I just asked God to give me strength to get through that. Another situation that I did not mention prior to that, when my best friend passed in January, his dad passed in February.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was my dad's best friend. So it was tough. Getting over the death of my best friend, then his dad was grieving his death. Literally less than 6 weeks later, he passed away. And now, you know, I'm seeing my dad getting ill. I'm seeing him grieve his best friend from when he was in high school in the 60s. And seeing my dad hurt. And it was tough. And it was just prayer. It was just prayer asking God to help us get through this. It was tough seeing my dad grieve his best friend. And so that was the second quarter of the year with my best friend's dad passing and my dad's cancer getting more serious. Then in literally the 4th of July night, I get up in my room, I go to the restroom, and I stub my toe on my bedpost. It hurt. I didn't think too much about it. I went and used the restroom, came back, laid back in the bed, and I got up the next morning. It was still smarting a little bit, but I didn't think too much about it. But I looked down at my toe or at my foot, and two of my toes were completely black.
Ouch.
Pastor Carl, and it was not like that the day before.
So just in one day?
In one day. And I was just dumbfounded. I couldn't understand what was going on. So my sisters took me to the hospital. I went to the emergency room at St. Vincent's. And the doctors who were on call, and the fourth was on a Friday. And so I was at the hospital July the 5th, that Saturday. Mm-hmm. So there aren't major orthopedic surgeons around and that, but the emergency room doctor said, hey, you know, we're going to probably have to amputate these. We're going to get you set up for surgery Monday morning. And I am just like, hold up, wait a second. This is moving really too fast. I can't believe you're talking about amputating some toes right now. They admit me to the hospital, and I've just got a lot of things going through my mind at this point. But what I'm used to doing when things are not exactly the way that I think they should be, I just commenced to praying, Pastor Carl. And so I went into prayer and just asked God to just take care of my situation, whatever it will be, bring me a level of peace to where His will be done, and I can manage that and deal with that and move forward. Mm-hmm. And so I was scheduled for surgery that Monday. It just so happened that the 4th of July and that weekend here in Toledo was a trying weekend, if you will. There were a number of shootings and different things like that. So mm-hmm. with me being at St. Vincent's Health, it was the number one trauma center.
For yourself?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. After going through everything else.
Right. Now I'm in the hospital for myself. Yeah. Correct. My surgery on Monday got pushed back because they had so many emergency situations that they had to take care of.
But the longer you have to wait, the worse that situation would be.
Yes, sir. So they sent me to get what they call a vascular MRI, mm-hmm. just to make sure my circulation was to my feet was going well. Mm-hmm. They said the circulation was going great. So they wanted to open me up, mm-hmm. Take a look at the infections in there, clear out the infections. And they decided, hey, maybe we can allow your toes and save your toes and we won't have to do the amputation. We'll just clear out the infection. You're getting great circulation down there. Mm-hmm. Possibly your toes will heal and you can come back from this. And so they scheduled me, and I actually went on into surgery that Wednesday. The surgery went well. They left my toes intact, although they were still completely black. It was worrisome. But they wrapped my foot up and gave me antibiotics, and I was on antibiotics from the time I got in the hospital that Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. 24/7, Pastor Carl, the nurses would come in the middle of the night, hey, it's time to change your IV. Mm-hmm. And I had an infection that was in my body, specifically, I guess, in my foot area that was not healing. And it wasn't healing for two reasons. First, because the infection was so deep, and it was a lot of infection, I guess. And then secondly, when they did the surgery and closed me back up, my body wasn't healing properly because I was suffering from diabetes.
Oh.
And my blood glucose levels were not being controlled.
Mm.
And I'm going to be...
Did you know you had diabetes?
Yes, sir. I knew I had diabetes. And this is part of what I talk about in my book, Fourth Quarter Faith. It was a situation where I had not been diligent in taking care of my diabetes.
Mm.
My blood glucose levels were out of control. And it wasn't a situation where I was being completely neglectful in eating desserts or drinking sugary drinks all the time. I made sure I did that, but I wasn't monitoring my insulin intake. I convinced myself that my exercise and my workouts was going to be enough to manage my diabetes levels, and it wasn't.
Gotcha.
And
so you weren't one of those that say that, you know, based on faith, I'm not going to claim this diabetes.
Sir. No, yeah. I wasn't. Okay. I visited my doctors, mm-hmm. and as a matter of fact, I was diagnosed with diabetes in my late 20s, early after I stopped playing college basketball. Mm-hmm. And doctors told me, you know, from the very beginning, yo, you need to stay on top of this. You need to get mm-hmm. control of this. You don't want to have complications down the line.
So this is kind of adding up. So the stumping of your toe.
Yep.
Yeah. It pretty much revealed what was already there.
Yes, sir. And to be honest with you, Pastor Carl, my orthopedic surgeons and doctors mm-hmm. ended up telling me later, if I hadn't stubbed my toe and came into the hospital that morning, I could have passed out and that infection could have really been a lot worse than what I ended up experiencing.
Understood.
And it was really a blessing, if you will, that that happened to me that way.
So they put off the surgery. What happened?
So I went back in. They did the infection and tried to get that out, mm-hmm. sent me home. I'm changing my dressings approximately 6 days later, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at my foot and it's not healing. The wounds were getting larger on my foot. Mm-hmm. I ended up taking some pictures and sending it back to the orthopedic surgeon and saying, hey, this doesn't look right to me. Mm-hmm. Are you sure this is moving the way you want to move? He looked at the pictures. Hey, can you come in tomorrow? We need to get you back in under the knife. Mm. So I went in the next day after sending those pictures in.
Yeah.
And we discussed what needed to move forward. And at that time, we needed to do the amputation. Mm. But they were intent on getting some infection out, some more. They sent me home with oral antibiotics after I left the hospital, but as soon as I got back in there and they got me prepared for the surgery, we went back on the IV antibiotics. Mm-hmm. And it was determined at that time that they weren't going to just amputate the two toes. My orthopedic surgeon recommended to me that we would need to amputate all of the toes. Mm-hmm. We really need to cut this infection out of your body. We are going to start with all of your toes and just half of your foot.
Mm-hmm.
This was a situation I really had not prepared myself for. As a matter of fact, Pastor Carl, I was in my hospital room watching my church service online, and I had some residents come in to say, well, we're going to have to, you know, take you back into surgery. You can choose whether we are going to amputate your entire foot or just half your foot with your toes. And I'm like, wow, that's a choice to give somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard my pastor say that the fervent prayers of the righteous
yeah.
prevaileth much.
Yeah.
And I had been somewhat prideful in being in the hospital. I hadn't told my pastor that I was in the hospital prior to. I asked my mom and dad. My mother's a mother at our church. My dad's a deacon.
Mm-hmm.
But I asked them, hey, can y'all not tell everybody about my personal health situation? This is my business. I don't want it all out there. But I texted my pastor that morning from the hospital bed and said, hey, can you pray for me and ask the church to pray for me? Here's what my situation is. I'm facing an amputation on Monday. I'm a little scared. I'm a little nervous, but I know God's got me.
Mm-hmm.
Would you all pray for me? And so after the sermon, our pastor got up and he asked the church to, hey, I just got a text from one of our own, Trustee Eric Johnson, and we just going to go into prayer for him. And I'm not going to give you all of his situation, but he is in the hospital right now. And we're asking the Lord to just show up and show out and do what he do. And he began to pray for me, Pastor Carl. At that moment in my hospital room at St. V's, I just felt a calmness come over me. I just felt that peace of just having not only my pastor, but my entire church in prayer. I just felt the prayers. And I began to get calm. I asked God, and I was praying for myself as well, but asked God to help me make this decision. So I went with the decision that we're going to just amputate the toes and half the foot. So that amputation happened. I stayed in the hospital a few more days. However, when I came out of that amputation, my foot was still not healing correctly. And it was a combination of still trying to get the infection out. Now they've got me in the hospital visiting infectious disease specialists. They are really, you know, concerned that this infection is not leaving.
Yes.
You know, I'm praying. I end up having to travel to St. Charles to enter a hyperbaric oxygen chamber.
Oh, wow.
Ended up doing that 2-3 times a week to have increased oxygen into my body to help heal my amputated foot.
That had to be an experience.
It was definitely experience. It was a lot, first of all, because...
And were you coaching at this time?
No, this happened during the summer. Okay. And so we were in our summer off season, if you will. And so I did not have any coaching responsibilities then. However, as I was traveling to my oxygen chamber and trying to get healthy, I'm still noticing this thing isn't healing. And one day I went over there, the doctors over there has put me in the oxygen chamber, could not get my blood pressure down. Or I had to take some vital signs before I went into the oxygen chamber. And my numbers were just off. So he called my orthopedic surgeon and he said, "Hey, we got James over here. We trying to put him in the oxygen chamber." So my orthopedic surgeon tells me, "Hey, we need to send you to the emergency room downstairs at St. Charles. We need to check this infection. We need to check this and check that. Have them run your test and give me a call back." The numbers came back. Infection numbers were not where they needed to be. They sent me to St. Vincent that day from St. Charles emergency room to see my orthopedic surgeon to go back into surgery the next day. So this is going to be my third surgery. At this point, my orthopedic surgeon is saying, "Hey, we're going to need to amputate the whole foot above the ankle." And at this point, you know, I'm just praying. I'm having my pastor come out to visit me at the church, different deacons and elders of the church. But I'm praying that I'm going to get healed. I got an amputation of my foot above the ankle. I started feeling better, but they were still concerned. And my orthopedic surgeon told me, "We're going to probably have to do another amputation just to be sure that we get all of this infection out of your body, probably below the knee."
Wow.
So I stayed in the hospital, and after the amputation above the ankle, I went in for another vascular MRI. And they said, "Hey, you know what? You've got good circulation down to this portion of your leg. Things are looking better." And my orthopedic surgeon was like, "Well, it's glad we got the circulation, but we still want to do that other amputation just to be sure." So they scheduled me for that amputation. That was August 25th. It was my fifth surgery from the time I went in July to the end of August. I remember that day being August 25th specifically as me having my final surgery amputation. It's my mother's birthday. And I was extremely upset that I was in the hospital, couldn't celebrate my mom and the rest of my family. But I was telling them, "Hey, don't worry about coming out here to see me. I'm being all right. They're taking good care of me." And at that time, my father was really getting ill. He wasn't moving as much. I remember a time where...
So you're getting your leg amputated, not to cut into what you're saying.
Yes, sir.
And your dad is suffering from cancer.
Yes, sir.
At the same time.
Yes, sir. My mom is literally an angel on earth. She is running me to my doctor's appointments. She's turning around taking my dad to his cancer treatments and his doctor's appointments. She's running the house, and she's just remarkable. And I'm telling her, I'm like, Mom, don't worry about me out here. I will be all right. It was one time after one of my amputations that she and my dad came up to visit me, and my dad, bless his heart, he was getting around on his walker, and he used so much energy just to get into my hospital room to sit in the chair over there. And when he got to the chair, finally, he just kind of collapsed and just, it was such a work and for him to come through the parking lot, up the elevator, and use his walker to get to my room. And I'm just, and I said, Dad, you didn't have to come up here to see me. He was so happy to see my family, but it just showed me just his strength, but it also showed me how weak he was getting.
Yeah.
So this happened in the third quarter with my amputations. And then in the fourth quarter of last year, my dad passed. And it was a situation that we were preparing for.
You're anticipating the inevitability.
Yes, sir. But at the same time, it was...
You're never ready.
It was something that we wasn't ready for.
Yeah.
And also that, you know, during this third quarter and fourth quarter, now I eventually, you know, I had my leg amputated, and so I got a walker. He's at the house on a walker. I'm in a walker.
Y'all the walker crew.
Right. I eventually ended up having to get a wheelchair because just – maneuvering, especially long distances, it was, you know, it was hard for me to hop around on just one leg. So I ended up getting a wheelchair, and I spent a lot of the time at the house just talking with my dad. Just reminiscing, just talking, just spending time with him. I thank God for that. It was a beautiful thing, and it was a blessing. And my dad always poured into me, but it was a blessing just experiencing him, just talk about different things and asking him questions about, you know, ancestors and family members and just the closeness and his faith. Knowing his cancer was spreading, it had spread to his stomach and to the other organs around the prostate, and his diagnosis was such, and he used to go to see his doctor religiously every year. We'd get his checkups, and he was a relatively healthy man, but when he got discovered with the prostate cancer, he was already at fourth stage, and so it was tough from the very beginning. So he ended up passing November 19th, and that happened in the fourth quarter. And so, and that is where I got my title for the book, Fourth Quarter Faith, and Finishing Strong with God. It was in that fourth quarter that, for me, was my most trying moment of my life.
We've covered a lot of information with Coach James E. Johnson today. We would very much like for you to check out the next episode of The Voices of Legacy, where we'll share the remainder of this interview on WGTE Public Media. Thank you for listening to The Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy. To like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.